My doctor informed Foreign Minister Wills I have had some health problems of late, manifested in a slight heart attack and some other secondary problems, all of which I'm sure are primarily caused by tensions. I felt it is my duty to inform you, Dr. Reed, of every facet of my life, and have done so except for this one painful chapter that has to do with a child that I parented in a rather strange situation. However, it came about for all the highest of altruistic reasons. Some years ago, about five to be exact, five and a half, Assistant District Attorney, who is a member of our church, Timothy Stone, came to me and other members of our governing body, which is a central committee that governs all of our churches, and stated that his wife was quite likely to commit treason. And he gave us a background of her obviously reactionary connections, and that her family were known bigots and had influence in reactionary circles. I had known prior to this time that his wife, Mrs. Stone, seemed to have some sexual interest in me. He confirmed that matter and asked me to try to keep her in our church by that means. After much consultation with our central committee, it was concluded that she was indeed a potential traitor of the first magnitude. Thus, I went into this painful ordeal, and I do declare it was painful. She repulsed me, but somehow I managed to get into a situation the like of which I have never experienced before, and hope from the depth of my being I never have to endure again. Out of this unholy union came a beautiful son. Of course, my wife was consulted about the situation before it began, and she too agreed that we should attempt to utilize whatever method, short of violence certainly, that was necessary to keep this woman, because she was making various threats that unless I showed her some attention, she was going to do one thing or another of a devious nature. I took every precaution. I used preventatives, and supposedly she did too. But something went amok, and she conceived. We urged her not to consider giving birth to the child, but it was obvious she would break under the mental pressure if we insisted to impose our views upon her. So the child came. We have a statement from the father, legal father that is, under penalty of perjury, which he chose to volunteer himself, verifying this fact. You also have a copy of a paper still showing that he is fighting this battle against reactionary adversaries with us. Anyway, I feel that it's very important that I lay this matter out to you. There's no other secret that I can possibly think of that I need to tell you. Nothing at all about my life that would cause you any embarrassment. Oddly enough, all of the sources know, or the primary sources who manage to masquerade their true character and get into our inner church circles, know this situation with my son John. But apparently there's been some arrangement made by the media not to print any of it, because they're attempting to use Mrs. Stone as a tool to bring us down by her lies, as the youngsters would say in the inner cities, her trickeration. It's even been reported that they have offered her immunity if they could get the law enforcement agencies forced into a position of calling a grand jury hearing. Mrs. Stone probably would be a willing liar, in that she stated in the articles that was written against us that she had never been a follower. If it were not so painful, it would be laughable. We also have fairly reliable information that law enforcement agencies are resisting this attempt on the part of a limited sector of the reactionary media in the Bay Area of California to get a grand jury hearing. Needless to say, this is the reason why I'm staying close to our new home of Guyana these days. A court ordered her, they gave her temporary custody, but refused to give an order to this country's courts to return the child. The judge heard in private chambers the background, and in the past has been most empathetic towards our work. He had no alternative but to grant her custody. However, as Dr. Wills pointed out, the courts of California have no jurisdiction over the courts of Guyana. I might say that it is one of my counselors who's volunteered time and has represented every progressive person in the United States for many years, Charles Gary, who recommends strongly that I not return, because if I were, I would lose this child. Even though the woman, the very thought of her now is so painful that I can barely stand it. Even though she repulses me, I love this child deeply. And she has now shown her true reactionary colors and gone back to her bigoted families, who are openly racistic. I would rather die than see the child brought up in such an environment. That is why it was a great relief to hear from Dr. Wills, our Foreign Minister Wills, that there would be no extradition of a single one of us. Every person is here by proper legal authorization, every child. We would not dream of bringing anyone into this country otherwise. All of the sources of these articles, to the last person, are guilty of criminal acts. The Myrtles, you have no doubt read some of the articles, tried to blackmail us for $35,000. Threatening to lie against us if we did not pay it. Linda Dunn attempted blackmail for $10,000. Phillips, known emulator of Adolf Hitler. The Cobbs, and a touché relative were involved in terrorism, either as provocateurs because they had planned terrorist acts that our church board discovered and at that time demanded that they disavow violence or that be expelled from the church. They refused. They had made made ammunition and had contrived some kind of explosives in a wild-haired scheme to blow up some bridge that had absolutely no relevance and is contrary to every one of our principles. We believe violence to be counterproductive to bring about socialism in today's world. We've always been pacifistically oriented deeply in our conscience. I could go on and name these various sources, but I don't think we should take your time. You've had enough pressure as a result of this whole conspiracy. And that's exactly what it is, as a letter accompanying us will portray to you. I might say that we have had a groundswell of supporters. All original supporters are with us, and even more are joining the ranks into the number of a few thousand, which includes Lieutenant Governor Dimely, the Black Legislative Caucus, Willie Brown, most prominent black legislator in the West, numerous churches of all denominations, the head of the Council of Churches, and the Council of Churches of the Bay Area and Northern California, that is. It is important every person of the progressive left and even the radical left, such as Angela Davis, and all parties, our movements concerned about socialistic change in the country, and offer their support. Angela Davis just called yesterday, asking to do whatever she could. Dennis Banks, who's head of the American Indian Movement. Well, the list is endless. I am not a person that would be in any way beguiled by sexual approaches. The reason I'm certain that John is my son is that the resemblances are absolutely convincing to everyone that has looked at him and myself. My baby pictures and his present appearance are almost identical. This is a hell unparalleled to me to have a child that I have no legal jurisdiction over. However, the father, the legal father, has pledged to do whatever he could to guarantee the safety of the child here, and originally came with the child when he was brought to this bright new future of living in the Socialist Republic of Guyana. To make up for any difficulties that we have caused, we have been for weeks attempting to assist this Northwest region in every way possible, not only by producing the agricultural project as rapidly as possible and developing poultry and pig farming and now beginning cattle raising. We have distributed untold amounts of food to every resident in the port and other areas in the Northwest District. This week alone, we gave out hundreds of pounds of fish, cassava, and just today, a few thousand pounds of rice, because we had been informed that there was a shortage presently in the area. The residents to the last person received it and responded graciously. We said, this is all made possible because your government allowed us to be able to produce the agricultural project. We also gave butter freely to the school and have offered them flour and pigs as they have requested. Our medical facilities are second to none. Our doctor, nurse practitioners, registered nurses, give checkups to every resident of this community at least every 2 months. And every person gets a routine checkup every week. By that I mean TPRs, temperatures, pulse, respirations, and blood pressure checkups. We're also reaching out into the community to many emergencies that have been brought to our attention. We've done a significant work to reduce gastroenteritis, which is, of course, primarily caused because of just lack of knowledge, not limitation of food. We used to have numerous children that were in a position of being nearly terminal. Now we have not had a case in a few weeks, or a few, 2 weeks at least, reported to us of gastroenteritis. We've integrated our beautiful Guyanese neighbors into our community. We've adopted several children, are in the process of doing so. Just this last week, we took a child that was brought to us by the ambassador's wife from Guyana to the United Nations. She and the delegation seem to be indeed impressed with our project. People come almost daily from various ministries and organizations. Last week we had a tour of some 60 students, and all go away delighted with what they see. Even a British delegation not long ago came through, and there was a report of it in the British press about the great achievements that was going on in this agricultural project. I hesitate taking your time. For some days we have had rumors from party officials and members of the community that Comrade Carmichael and Lambert were attempting to discredit our programs. In fact, it was more severe than that, that they were vicious enemies. However, I must state unequivocally that in their contact with us, they've always been very friendly and seemingly helpful. A few days ago, it was rumored that they were going to come, or they were going to cause investigators to come to check out some ridiculous falsehood that had been told in the States by the reactionary press, that we discipline people by letting them work in deep pits. Then, 2 days ago, Comrade Lambert approached us with the same information, saying that they were going to come and check it out. One official said, of the party, I believe a party official, according to some of our leadership here, stressed that we should bury the hole. And let me explain that hole. It's a garbage pit, every bit of which was dug out by a backhoe. totally by mechanical means. I said, we cannot afford this kind of move, and we have nothing to hide. Garbage was, refuse was clearly in the bottom of it, and we said, we welcome anyone who's interested to come out and check this out. However, the way it was checked out, to many of us, was very disturbing. The police came up with a gentleman, I believe his name was Potmore, who represented himself as being from the Home Affairs Office in Georgetown. According to those who met him, including one of my black adopted sons, Johnny, he was grossly unfriendly. He was offered one of our delightful juices. He refused to take it. He immediately went off on his own into the fields, which we paid little heed to, because we thought he wished to talk to our workers. But the root of their coming was that they were concerned about some of our tools, which had been stolen, numbering up into the thousands of dollars. Such incidents, by the way, I should stress, are highly unusual. Finally, though, he asked to take a picture with several of our people in the portrait, and he showed friendliness at that moment. He got in the group, which included my son, and I don't know who all. But the interesting part was that he took this picture 50 or 60 feet away from the mound of clay that had been dug out mechanically by the backhoe for our garbage pit. This caused considerable apprehension and concern, deep concern, in our community, because many had heard all of these rumors, and to think that he would deal with us in such a subtle way, which was of course not subtle at all, it was pretty obvious, we felt that surely the years of our service here would merit enough trust to be upfront about such an inquiry. He left without even waving at the people, although the two police people persons were very friendly. And I'm not at all sure from the reports I received they even knew what was going on. This gave us considerable apprehension, in that one party official said that he, Mr. Potmore, was a high official himself. It seems strange to us that anyone in this great socialist nation would dignify the reports, all based on lies and provocateurs that came from the United States. There was some mention in the United States that we use discipline. As I recall, I can't keep up with all the press in such a manner, by having people dig out our garbage pits and the pits for our toilets. Patently untrue, just as the charges of corporal punishment, patently untrue. We have never used physical violence. We absolutely do not spank people. We find the better system is denial of privileges and rewards for good behavior. Obviously, discipline is necessary when you are attempting to produce for this country's great goals of feeding and clothing and housing the nation. Also, it is very apparent that if there were any disciplinary tactics of an inhumane nature, we would not have what I gather is over 700 people that are happy and contented in our Jonestown community. We have no guards. It's easy to walk to Port Kaituma and catch a boat or go by the railroad. Any number of ways a person can leave this place. But through these years, only two have chosen to do so, both of which were helped by our church to return to the United States. I don't want to take more of your time. I'm sure that you are aware of the devastation that reactionary media can bring, and know full well its devious means, as exhibited in the United States, to undermine organizations such as ours. It was evident in the McCarthyism in the 50s and the genocide waged against such groups as the Black Panthers and others in the 60s. Now, many people, journalists who have written us on the side, and even some who of the establishment press who promised to do something later when the dust settles to help our cause, to bring out the real truth about us, to override all of this smear, which I tell you has been nothing but absolute lies. But many of these journalists and many leaders in our United States feel that this is the beginning of a neo-McCarthyism that will make the McCarthyism of the 50s pale by comparison. As I've told you in our various meetings of the past, racism in the United States at the grassroots level is growing at a frightening rate. 22 new chapters of the Ku Klux Klan have been formed in recent weeks in California. Andy Young has been singled out for attack by the same media that have been attacking us of late. Also, an appeal for his dismissal is being circulated with such eminent sponsors in government as the governor of New Hampshire. It's been reported to me by journalists it has already gained 500,000 signatures. It is cushioned in the most horrid rhetoric that you can imagine, accusing Andy Young of being a supporter of bloody terrorists and having communist connections and everything else degrading that they can possibly conceive to say about him. So we're not alone in this struggle, and we are pleased to tell you that there are many who are moderates, cross-section of every denomination, leadership, that is. I can't think of a denomination that is not represented in some way in solidarity with us, who see this for what it is, even though they may not have a socialist philosophy. They realize that we are the victims of a total smear. Thank you for your indulgence of this tape. I wanted to play it for you so you could get a better feel of the situation about John, because it's my duty to keep you informed of everything about us. Let me reassure you, we will support your borders, our borders, with our lives, to the last woman, man, and child. We have taken that type of vote. We also took a vote we would rather die than return to the United States. And that was supported by all except two. And their dissent was not registered on displeasure with our community. They felt that there were things they might be able to do to help bring about revolutionary change in the United States. We have suffered too much. The pain has been staggering. Our buildings have been burned, assassination attempts on myself and my child, other leaders, and the threats of assassination are just too numerous for me to even recall. We are with you, Dr. Reed. We are with Guyana and the People's National Congress. We are for socialism, body, mind, and soul. And we certainly can provide a solid basis of support because of the cohesiveness of our group. Please feel free to call upon us at any time.